You are now listening to the Providence Church Podcast. Providence Church is located in Lehigh Acres, Florida. Our mission is to glorify God by treasuring Christ, loving people, and making disciples.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Thank you for allowing me the privilege to come and share with you. As Sean said, I am a Georgia Bulldog fan, which, thank you, another redeemed person in the room. Thank you. All right. The grace of God is evident here. Awesome. I really believe that the Lord called my wife and I to Southwest Florida years ago to not only proclaim the gospel, but also because there are so many heathen here that cheer for so many other schools that are just godless schools. So I joke. I am excited to be here. My wife and I, Maggie, we've been married almost 8.5 years, and we have an awesome daughter, Lily Kate. She was our Christmas gift 2 years ago, and so she is phenomenal. I love her like crazy, and she's probably terrorizing your preschool room as we speak. And so if any of your kids come home with claw marks, I'm sorry about that. Extend me grace and her grace. And as Sean mentioned, we also have an international student with us, Jerry. He is our mission trip to China over these next 12 days, and we've had him for 3 days already, and we are sharing Jesus with him and loving on him, and really want to encourage you, as Sean mentioned, with Rich and Maria here with EF, what a great way to share the gospel with folks that you may never, ever have a chance to go and share with, and so take advantage of that, and I know some of you already have. I want to share with you today about the gospel and hearing the testimony of Eli. It is a common occurrence when sharing the gospel to hear people say they believe in the gospel, but the gospel they believe in is not the actual gospel. And in Galatians 1, Paul gives us this stream of logic to follow through, and I'm glad that was our scripture reading for today, is if they preach a different Jesus, they preach a different gospel, they are accursed. It's Jesus or accursed. And there is no other option. It is black and it is white. It is Jesus and nothing else. And that is the gospel. And I want to share with you today some conversations that I've had over the years of sharing my faith here in Southwest Florida. It really is amazing the melting pot that we have here in Southwest Florida of people from the Northeast, people from the Midwest, people who are Florida crackers, who have grown up here their entire life. It's amazing to see the cultural and religious beliefs of people that are here. And I would even share with you that there are people here in Fort Myers that I've spoken to, and they have never, ever heard the name of Jesus Christ before. That floors me. In a place where there are churches on every corner, in a place where the gospel has been lifted high for many years, there are people in this community who have never heard the name of Jesus. And I know there are people right here in your Jerusalem, in Lehigh Acres, who have never heard the name of Jesus. And if they don't wake up tomorrow morning, they will stand before a holy, righteous God, and they will have to pay for their sins against God in eternity, separated from him in hell. And so this being unashamed of the gospel, it's not a laughing matter. It's a serious matter, because the gospel is the only thing that saves. The gospel is the only thing that saves us. And so this morning, I want to turn our attentions to the book of Matthew. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7, I'm thinking this is the right one here. There we go. Yes, thank you. Matthew chapter 7. Sorry, I just thought it was a little high, so hopefully that doesn't offend you guys. Matthew chapter 7, I want to share with you, the gospel is, it's solitary. There is no other way. Acts 4:12. When Peter is standing before the Sanhedrin, he says, there's no other way for men to be saved but through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the only way that you and I can be saved. Romans 10 tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. And Romans 10 goes on to say, if we are saved, that to go and to share the gospel, because how is someone going to believe in Jesus if they've never heard? And how is someone going to hear if there's not somebody proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ? And so my goal for you this morning is, number one, if you're not saved, My goal is that you would understand what the gospel is, the true gospel, what the gospel is, and that you would trust in Jesus Christ alone by faith through grace alone for salvation. And then the second thing is, if you do know Jesus Christ this morning, that the grace that you have experienced, you would extend that grace to everyone around you, because God's hope for the world is you as a believer in Jesus Christ. He has put His Holy Spirit within you to be the redeeming agent that He uses throughout the world, throughout your circle of influence. Now, this is what's amazing, because when Jesus Christ tells us that, you know, you will do greater things, you'll do greater things than me when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I was listening to a sermon this week by David Platt, and he was sharing, you know, the greater things is not that we're going to have a better quality of product than Jesus can produce, because He is Jesus. We're not going to do better things in the quality, but we're going to do better things in the quantity, because now the Spirit is in each of us who are redeemed to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have all these people coming together under the banner of Jesus Christ to go out and to share the good news. And so, That's my goal for us today, is that we would share the good news. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, this is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the king establishing his rules for a new kingdom. And it starts in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, which are really the attitudes of a believer in Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But in Matthew 7, he ends his message by comparing a true believer with, as we'll see in the text, with the Pharisees and with the teachers and with these religious people. And today I want to show you that there really are two world religions. There are two world religions, Christianity and then everything else. And everything else can be summed up in self-righteousness. Everything else can be summed up, if the gospel is the gospel of grace, then the other world religions can all be combined in one world religion that says it's the gospel of works. You've got the gospel of divine righteousness, where it's righteousness is imputed to us from Jesus Christ himself. That's the true religion. Or you have the gospel of self-righteousness, where you and I work our tails off to try to prove ourselves to God. It's the idea of the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ, or it's the idea of the gospel of the flesh, where we're putting our hope in something else other than Jesus Christ. And this is all made bare for us right here in Matthew chapter 7. And so I want to start at the end and then work our way backwards, because I want you to see at the very end of Matthew 7, as Jesus is finishing his Sermon on the Mount, the people were blown away. They were astonished hearing the words that were coming out of this carpenter, hearing the words that were coming out of this man, because they have never heard teaching like this before. And I want to share with you, when the gospel is proclaimed, it will blow you away. Because when you and I recognize that we are enemies of God, as Romans 1 says, that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on us because of our ungodliness and unrighteousness. And when we understand that Jesus Christ took the wrath of God on our behalf, we were once enemies, now we are guests at the table. When we understand that, it'll blow us away. When we understand the radical nature of the gospel, it'll blow us away. And this is what happened in Matthew 7, verse 28. It says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, one who had power, one who had the inside scoop, one who actually knew what he was talking about, one who had authority and not as their scribes. And so, as we see here in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, the response of the people is, wow. They were astonished at the authority of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the gospel. And so we want to back up a few verses to see, okay, what was it that Jesus taught? What was it that Jesus said? And so going back to Matthew 7, let's look at verse 13 and let's start there. And I want to read from there to the end of the chapter. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it, they are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree, it bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And then we get to Matthew 7:21. And I want to share with you, I wrestled with this. This is the scariest text, I believe, in all of the New Testament. Look at it with me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, the judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? Do we not cast out demons in your name? Do we not do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone else who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and it beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished. Jesus gives us two pictures. He gives us a picture of the true way, the real way, and the false way. He gives us the picture of the easy road that leads to destruction and the hard road that leads to life. And Jesus himself tells us, and maybe it's the story of Eli as we see on this testimony, that how can the gospel be so exclusive? How is Jesus the only way? Listen, if there were another way, I would preach it to you. Sean would preach it to you. But the Bible, Jesus makes it clear that there is only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so since Jesus is exclusive, we must preach the exclusivity of the gospel, that it's in faith, in grace, in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way for you and I to be saved. Now, hear this. Because this was the attitude of what was happening in Matthew 7, is that these Jewish people were listening to their scribes and were listening to their Pharisees tell them that you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you've got to do that. If you do this, don't do that, do this, and don't do that, you can be saved. If you follow the law, you can be saved. And Paul tells them in Romans, no one will be justified by the law. The law exists to show us of our hopelessness before God. The law exists, like Jonathan Edwards, to dangle us as sinners over the depths of hell to make us wake up and realize that we need a mediator. And John tells us that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. There's no other substitute that you and I can substitute for Jesus Christ. Now, this flies in the very face of a brand of Christianity that is being proclaimed in countless churches right now across America. There is a false gospel that right now is being spread in churches after churches after churches, of telling people to try harder, to do better, to do more and be better so that you can work your way to God. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, the story of the final judgment, that there will be goats and there will be sheep. And what's happening right now across countless churches is that there are ministers of this false gospel who are trying desperately to beat the hell out of goats to make them into sheep. Trying to give them righteous works for them to do. Trying to give them religious duties so that they can get out of hell by what they do. And it's a false gospel. It's a false gospel because the only way you and I can be saved is through Jesus Christ alone. There's no good work. There's no righteous work. I was at a funeral. I had the privilege of doing a funeral yesterday. I say it was a privilege because I had the chance to preach the gospel. Anytime you have a chance to preach the gospel, it's a privilege. And I did the service at our church, and then afterwards there was a graveside service, and my responsibilities for the graveside were really, really minimal. It was, I read a passage of scripture, I prayed for the family, and then I turned it over to the VFW, and they did this veterans service, and this memorial for this gentleman that had passed. And the guy shared yesterday, and I'm thinking, I'm standing there, I'm listening to what's being said, but the guy said yesterday, because this man had served our country and fought in the Korean War as a Marine, because of his duty in doing that, he now has the opportunity to serve the Lord and spend forever in the peaceful kingdom of God because of what he did on this earth by serving in the American Army. Or serving in the Marine Corps. Now, I love our veterans, and you may be in here and you may have served our country. God bless you. I mean, you fought so that I could get up and tell you how wrong that thinking is. Because that person isn't going to stand before the Lord, and he's not going to say, Jesus, Semper Fi, and Jesus, oh, Semper Fi, well, come on in. No. You and I, we can't work our way to God, regardless of what good things we do. Church attendance, even attendance at a great church like this, it's not going to get you to heaven. The fact that you know Pastor Sean Bergen is not going to get you into heaven. It's only by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. And so there's this American version of Christianity, which is not Christianity at all. It has a form of godliness, but it denies its power. This is what the Bible says. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. I want you to picture yourself standing at a fork in the road. Now, most people, when they read this passage, they think, oh, there's a fork in the road. One way says, hey, to heaven, and that's the hard, narrow path. And the other way says, to hell, and that's the easy path, because we all know it's easy to go to hell. I don't think he's that dumb. I think that the fork in the road says, to heaven this way, and to heaven this way. And people look at the fork in the road and said, that way over there, gosh, that looks tight. You know, that, I don't know if you've ever been to Rock City, Sea Rock City. There's a place called Fat Man Squeeze. I could fit through it as a kid. Probably won't go back because I'm nervous that I won't be able to fit through it now. But that's what happens. You're standing at a fork in the road and you see Fat Man Squeeze. This is a narrow spot. Ugh, I don't think I can make it there. Hey, but this road leads to heaven too, and it looks wide. It looks like, man, I can fit down this one. There's plenty of room. I'm going to go down this path. And it's only when you get to the end of the path do you realize it led to destruction. And there's a false gospel that's being believed today by believers in a gospel that says you can work your way to God, you can earn your salvation. If you're a good man and you do good deeds, you're going to be good one day. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And the Bible tells us that there are many who are on that path. There are many people that are on that path that are leading to destruction. I heard a story in that same sermon by David Platt. He was talking about a trip that he went over to India. He's in Calcutta, and he's watching at this funeral for all these people who had died in their these funeral pyres that are in the river, and they set the bodies on these pyres, and then they light them all ablaze, and the bodies would burn, and the ash would fall down into the river, and they thought this would help with reincarnation. This would help the family members come back quicker and reincarnate quicker. And David Platt, as he's watching this, he says, this is a physical picture of a spiritual reality of when people, when they die without faith in Christ Jesus, they step into eternity to burn forever because of their sin against a God. Not that they didn't know. Romans 1 tells us that we know God. We know the God we are sinning against. And it's in our sin that we suppress that truth about God. And that is why God's wrath is poured out on us. And so David Putty talks about this picture. And it made me think, that's my neighbor. That's my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus Christ. That's the person that I spend time with fishing or on the golf course. That's the person that I meet in the grocery store. That's the person I meet at Chuck E. Cheese. That's the person who serves me, that apart from Jesus Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell forever. And that reality should wake us up as believers to say, I don't care what's going to happen to me. Romans 8, as Sean read earlier, what should I say? What's going to hold me back? Should famine, persecution, sword, distress, nakedness? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I want to spend every ounce of energy that I have to share the gospel of grace with those who are around me, because without that gospel, they stand in the midst of the wrath of God and they will experience that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your loved ones, your parents, your children who don't know Jesus Christ, separated from God forever. And if there was a different way, I would love to tell you that there's a different way, but there's not. The Bible says that the ones that find it are few. And that's why you've heard statistics. That's why you've heard numbers and reports that say 80% of American evangelicals that fill our churches are lost. Gosh, that hits home with me. Wait a second. That's why the New Testament writes, examine yourself to see that you're in the faith. That's why if you look at the imperatives versus the indicatives in the New Testament about what it means to be a believer, that's the commands versus just what happens, the indicative, the indicating marks of what it means to be a believer. If you look at all the commands, they're very few. But the indicatives, man, there are so many things that are rich in the New Testament. It says, if you are a believer, this is what happens. If you are a believer, this is what your life produces. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit, but before that, it tells us the fruit of the flesh. This is what the flesh produces. This is the life that is set on the flesh. This is what it produces. Sexual immorality. So if you have a God who is okay with your sexual immorality, you have a false God and a false gospel. If you have a God who is okay with homosexuality, you have a false God and a false gospel. If you have a God who is okay with lying and gossip, you have a false God and a false gospel. And what we do as pastors, we would come up here and we would preach to you saying, don't be sexually immoral. Don't be homosexuals. Don't be liars and gossipers and thieves. When we need to be saying, trust in Jesus Christ alone, because when you trust in Christ alone, your life produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You can't beat people into the kingdom to say, act a certain way. That's the false gospel that's out there. And as believers, what we cling to is Jesus Christ alone. We cling to Jesus Christ alone. There is nothing good about me. Nothing. Nothing. Not one thing. But the fact that I've been adopted by the King of Kings as His Son, who in His gracious providence looked down on me, a sinner, and offered me grace and forgiveness. I can't earn it. The very fact that my paycheck comes from a Baptist church doesn't get me there. It may hurt me more than help me. I don't know. There's nothing that I can do that is good in and of myself. I need the grace of God. I need Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a story. about a false convert. I had the opportunity. We were doing some open air preaching in downtown Fort Myers, and Pastor Sean and some of you lovely people from Providence were there. And we were sharing with people about the gospel of grace, and we were trying to let them know that they do know who God is according to Romans 1. They do know that they are sinning against Him, and they do know that they are going to receive hell as the just punishment for their deeds against Him. So we were offering them the good news of Jesus Christ. And I remember there was a lady that I was talking with. I was here and she was maybe at the end of the stage there, and we're talking, we're having this dialogue, and she was telling me that she's going to heaven because she's a good person. And she's going to heaven because she hasn't done some of these other things. And I challenge her with the truth of God's word, which says there is none righteous. No, not one. Not one of us in the room can stand up and say, oh, I'm righteous. No, there's none righteous. No, not one. And so what you need in your unrighteousness is a righteous Savior who's paid the penalty for your sin. And I shared that with her, and she didn't like it. She didn't like what I had to say. And so she, in a very angry way, she got off the little platform and she walked away. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye, as soon as she got off the platform, there was this gentleman who came and took her by the arm and said, hey, can I talk with you for a moment? Now, in the moment, I thought, because I didn't know all the people that were there with us, I thought this was a brother in Christ. I thought this was a brother in Christ, maybe from Providence Church, that was going to share with her, hey, let me share the gospel with you. It was only 15 minutes later when we were done with our evangelism that I found out this guy, I had a chance to talk to him one-on-one. And I realized, oh my goodness, this is exactly what Matthew 13 talks about. That the gospel, the parable of the sower, the gospel is proclaimed, and then the enemy, the birds, they come and snatch it up. It's exactly what had happened with this person, because this guy went up to this lady and said, hey, what he's saying isn't true. That's not Christianity, what he's saying. That's not the Bible. That's not the God of the Bible, what he's saying. I was simply proclaiming the fact that we are lost and deserving of punishment because we've broken God's laws. And praise be to God that he sent us his one and only son. It was the gospel, as clear and as straightforward as I could say it. And the guy came up to me afterwards and he said, why do you do what you're doing? Do you think that's what Jesus would do? Do you think Jesus would tell people that they are lost, that they are sinners in need of a Savior? Why do you think that's how Jesus would handle people? And I told the guy, I said, look, I only have a few, my time here is important, and I'm not going to get into a theological debate with you right now. I'd love to go to lunch with you. I'd love for us to talk. But my goal is there's a crowd that is gathered here that if they are to die tonight, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I want to share the gospel with them. And if you and I want to debate, we can talk later. And I quickly realized he was not a brother. He does not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. He doesn't believe in the standard of Scripture, that the Bible is God's Word. And so if he doesn't believe in the Bible is God's Word, what are we going to argue? Because I've got nothing to give up. I'm just a dumb Georgia redneck. I've got nothing to offer you. I'm clinging to the gospel. That's all I have. And if you and I don't see eye to eye on this, then if you're preaching a different gospel, it's a different God, you're accursed. Let me share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, preachers don't like to have the gospel shared with them because they like to think, no, I'm good with God because I'm a preacher. I'm good with God because of something that I do. And I'm just sharing with this guy. No, it's grace. It's Jesus. It's not flesh. It's faith. It's not self-righteousness. It's divine imputed righteousness. And so here's the scary part. Scary part is this, that on that day, there's going to be a day of reckoning in verse 21, and it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And here's the problem. This false gospel that's being proclaimed by false prophets says it's easy as ABC to believe in Jesus Christ. Admit that you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, confess him, you're good to go. When in the gospels you see Jesus saying, if you're not ready to deny your mother and father, your kids, then don't come follow me. If you're not ready to put your hand to the plow without looking back, don't come follow me. Jesus standing on a mountainside. If you're not ready to eat my body and drink my blood, don't come. Follow me. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. If you're not there, then don't come. It's guys like the rich young ruler. Good teacher, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? Give me a list. Give me a religious duty that I can check off so that I can know that my righteousness is earned by myself because I did something. And Jesus, seeing right to the heart of the matter, says, go sell everything that you have and give it away. Because it would be better for you and I to enter the kingdom of heaven without an arm, without an eye, without a leg. It would be better to limp into the kingdom of heaven than to be experiencing eternal torment forever because of our sin. So Jesus, he tells us, there will be many who say to me, Lord, Lord. Look at what they say. Look at what their salvation is based on. Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And the false gospel is all about do, 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 and it amounts to a bunch of doo-doo. Sorry, I'm a youth pastor, so that's, you know, that's... If your gospel that you are clinging to today says, I'm right with God because of what I have done, it's a false gospel. And Jesus says there's going to be many people on that day who say, did I not do this? Did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do many mighty works? I ate at Chick-fil-A, God. Come on, let me in. He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I don't know who you are. And I don't know what you think you did, but what you did didn't do it. Because the only way that you can be saved is through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sin. And that's the only way that your neighbor can be saved. It's the only way that your coworker can be saved. It's the only way that your mother and grandmother can be saved. It's the only way of salvation is in Christ alone. Anything else, you're going to hear the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Man. Now, I want to challenge you today. I'm not naive enough because I do this every single week. I preach the gospel to a room full of teenagers. There's 40,000 teenagers in Lee County. I preach the gospel to a room full of teenagers, 150. And I know that sitting in that room are people who are trusting in something other than Jesus Christ for salvation. Trusting in themselves, in their good works, their good looks, trusting in their family, trusting in the fact that they're just sitting inside a church building, that that's going to make me okay with God. And I only have one bullet in my gun, and I'm going to shoot it. I'm like Barney Fife. This is the only one they give me, and I want to shoot it. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ today for your salvation, if you don't wake up tomorrow, you will be spending eternity in heaven, in hell, and you will cry out, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did I not hear that goofy pastor share yesterday that he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. And so my only bullet is that you can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so if you're here today trusting in something else other than Jesus, something else other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your salvation, today is the day you need to repent. Today is the day that you need to wake up. And I hope this message to you is like ice cold water that will wake up your soul, wake up your spirit, and cause you to think, I am outside of the faith. I do not know Jesus Christ. I've been holding on to my religious duty. I've been holding on to my religious works. I've been holding on to everything that I have to offer. And today I want to cling to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, my challenge to you today, cling to Jesus Christ alone. And then my second challenge, if you do know Jesus, and I assume that there are people in this room that do know him, when's the last time you shared your faith with someone? When's the last time this grace that you've experienced, you've extended to someone else? When's the last time you said, you know what, I am going to be unashamed. You can call me a crazy guy. You can call me a religious kook. You can call me whatever you want. But I want to tell you, if I only get 2 minutes with you, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he stepped out of eternity into this life, lived a perfect, sinless death so that you and I could be forgiven, because everyone needs forgiveness. We've sinned against a holy, righteous God, and we need forgiveness. And so if you don't remember me, if you don't remember me at all, that's awesome. That's great. But remember the fact that you need Jesus Christ. When's the last time you shared your faith? When's the last time you went out of your way to say, hey, can I ask you a question? If you were to die right now, if you were to die right now, would you spend eternity in heaven or hell? If you were to step out into eternity right now, and you may be thinking, that's a crazy question to ask. Why would you ask that question? Because today alone, 250,000 people didn't wake up. 250,000 people stepped into eternity. And I guarantee you what went through their mind yesterday is, I'm going to make it to tomorrow. I don't have anything to worry about. And that is why I love preaching funerals, because it wakes people up to think, I'm not promised tomorrow. Let me do some thinking here. If I were to step into eternity. And so here's where I want to challenge you. If you know Jesus, share your faith. Share your faith. Not because I'm not giving you a list of religious duties to do. I want to show you that this is just what comes out of the overflow of our heart. Look in verse 17. Every healthy tree bears good fruit. Someone who is on the narrow path bears good fruit. If you haven't shared your faith, if you haven't borne good fruit, it may be because you're not a good tree. It may be because you're not on the right path. It may be that you're a foolish builder who's building your house on something else. I want to challenge you today. I don't want to hit you with a stick to say, go share your faith, go share your faith, go share your faith. I want to challenge you, cling to Jesus, cling to Jesus, cling to Jesus. And as you cling to Jesus, you will tell others, cling to Jesus. Because there's nothing else to cling to. That's the only rock that is offered. And the interesting thing in this parable is Jesus talks about the rain coming and the storms and the waves. The waves, storms, and rain come to both people. The one who's built his house on the rock and the one who has built his house on the sand. People who think that just because you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be rosy-posy, it's foolishness. God doesn't want you to be rich. God wants you to cling to Jesus and to point other people to cling to Jesus. God doesn't want you to be healthy. What God wants is for you to use whatever situation that you're in for the glory of God. That's why Romans 8:28 exists in our Bible. Because whether you're healthy or whether you're sick, whatever it is that God has called you in this moment, at this time, to be in that situation so that you can give glory to God. Because it's easy to give glory to God when everything goes well. It's easy to, oh, God is so good. My house is paid off. My car's paid off. My kids are living for Jesus. God is so good. What happens when when you have a Job moment, when your house is destroyed, when your kids are killed, when you lose everything? Is God not good in that moment? In every situation, whatever we go through, when the trials, the rain, the storm comes through, it's a chance for us to cling all the more to Jesus Christ. And that is the true gospel. Cling to Jesus and nothing else. Tullian Chavidian wrote a book, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that's it. That's why Jesus on the cross cried out, it is finished. There's freedom in that. There's nothing else for us to do. I don't have to. I just trust. I trust in Jesus. And if you're trusting in Jesus, then I want you to extend that grace that you've experienced to others around you. Tell them to trust in Jesus. Let me pray for you. Jesus, in this moment, Lord, I pray for every single person that's in this room. God, I pray that those that are in here, Lord, who are trusting in something other than your substitutionary atonement on the cross, God, I pray right now, God, that your Holy Spirit would quicken them, would wake them up, and Lord, that today would be the day that they repent of their idolatry. And God, today would be the day that they trust in you alone. Lord, for those that are in this room who know you, God, I pray that today would be the day that they would realize as they cling to you, God, you produce fruit in their lives. And God, that fruit is good fruit. And God, so the grace that they've experienced, Lord, I pray as they cling to you, they will extend that same grace to others. Lord, I pray that we would be unashamed in our witness for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.